नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
topic for discussion during this visit. I thought of a few of them, but the one I settled on was just to continue where I left off from Thanksgiving time. Devotional service, chapter 25, canto 3, Lord Kapiladev's teachings. And some of you may not have been around here during Thanksgiving time. We discussed for several days the topic of the glories of devotional service. That's the title of chapter 25. And the theme of the chapter, the highlight section of the chapter, is describing the importance of sadhu sangha. There are 8 verses in that chapter, sangastaka, 8 verses glorifying how the critical importance of finding a sadhu, what are the qualifications of a sadhu, how to take the association of a sadhu, what's the fruit of that association, the disentanglement from the complexities of material existence and the miseries of material existence and the bewilderment of material existence, and the other side, connecting with our natural state of spiritual consciousness, God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and in the association of sadhus engaging in devotional service. So, where we ended, the activities of devotional service are described, the consciousness of attachment to the object of devotional service, the Supreme Lord, was discussed. That was the last verse that we covered. So, this evening, 3 verses, texts 35, 36, and 37 of chapter 25. In the first verse, Kapiladev is describing some of the features of meditation for the devotee. The beautiful face of the Lord, his limbs, his smile, his bodily features are objects of meditation for the devotee. In Rupa Goswami's teachings, Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he describes that these are stimulations for ecstatic love. It's the Sanskrit word is udipan. Udipan. And a metaphor is used to explain what that is. Something like in an automobile, or in a cart that you pull, that's motor-driven, rather. There's a drive shaft, something that connects the motor to the axle. And when that drive shaft turns, I don't want to use car mechanics, but it makes the axle turn, which then in turn the wheels turn, and then the cart goes, or the vehicle goes. So that axle that turns is staiva, steady ecstasy. And then there are stimulations that make that axle turn. That's the motor. That's udikan, stimulations of ecstatic love. Turn the steady ecstasy, staiva, into various forms of anubhav, of symptoms, of external symptoms on the body. But the external symptoms in the body are the product of an ecstasy that's within the body, or within the heart, or on the platform of the soul. And that which stimulates that ecstatic love includes the qualities of Krishna, the features of Krishna's form, hearing the activities of Krishna, seeing the beautiful deity form of the Lord, nicely decorated, nicely worshipped, nice offerings being made. So, here's the verse. O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they talk favorably with me. I spent some time before coming here finding some very beautifully written verses that are describing Krishna's beauty. And I was going to read them, but I left them behind. Very, very, very beautiful, eloquent, elegant descriptions of Krishna, seeing the form of Krishna. One is spoken by the gopis as they see Krishna's passing with the cowherd boys, and they're describing what their eyes are beholding. And it's very beautiful. I wish I had just to read the description. Another place Krishna is describing, as Kapila Dev is describing here, his own form and the contemplation of his devotee upon his form and what the devotee sees. Because Krishna is also in the heart of the devotee. He knows what they're seeing, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing. So, one of the important features is, from this verse is that as a person, without person, how do you have form? Much later, in the 32nd chapter of this canto, Kapila Dev is still speaking to Devahuti, and he uses the word Brahma Darshan. There's a verse that you know, many of you will know from the first canto of Bhagavatam. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaya Dahai Tukam. You know that one. Sutta Goswami is speaking that verse as an answer to the first of the six questions asked by the sages. The sages wanted to know what's the essence of all the Vedas in a very concise form, and that's the answer. Devotional service unto Vasudeva. And when that devotional service is done without motivation, a high turkey and without anything stopping it. So on this end there's nothing starting it, and that end there's nothing stopping it. There's nothing material that starts it, nothing material that can check it. When that kind of devotional service is rendered, yenatma supersedati, one is completely satisfied, that's the next verse, and causelessly knowledge and detachment arise. There's no extraneous or additional or something that you have to do other than devotional service. The same verse is spoken by Kapila Dev, but the last line is a little different. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayoja Taha Janagati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Tad Brahma Darshanam. One can, in that condition, see the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada makes the point there. Seeing means there's an object seen. There's a person. Otherwise, there's no question of darshan. You have to see something, someone. It's not impersonal, it's personal. The absolute truth is in the ultimate analysis, ultimate stage of realization, personal. And same here. The form of the Lord is the object of meditation. We know that there's this, the common connotation of Brahman, as in Brahma Darshanam, is the impersonal feature. But the impersonal feature is hiding, or the glaring effulgence, hiran mayena patrina satyasya pihitam mukham. In Ishopanishad, the statement is there, oh my dear Lord, please remove this hiranmaya, this dazzling effulgence, your Brahman effulgence, so that we can see your para-Brahman feature, your personal feature, your Bhagavan feature. So here, the Bhagavan feature is explicitly expressed, and the various forms of the Lord is explicitly expressed, and talking about Krishna favorably is explicitly expressed. So what Prabhupada does in the purport is he speaks about deity worship, long purport about the importance of deity worship. And he speaks first of the atheists who say, why do you have to worship the form of the Lord? God is everywhere. Why do you bother going to the temple? Because God is everywhere. And it's counter to that, if God is everywhere, why is he not in the temple? If God is everywhere, why is he not in the deity? Why do you say you don't need to go to the temple and see the deity? But because we don't have the other side, the reverse counterposition is, we don't have the qualification to see the form of the Lord, and therefore the deity form of the Lord, Archa Vigraha, is a merciful manifestation via elements that we can tangibly perceive. The Lord appears like that. So that we can, in the same way as if we had transcendental capacities, we could worship the Lord, serve the Lord, engage our senses in the service of the Master of the Senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. So he appears in his deity form. I'll read just a bit. There are many Shastric injunctions which give instructions for carving forms of the Lord. These forms are not material. The smiling face of the deity in the temple is beheld by the devotees as transcendental and spiritual. And the decoration of the body of the Lord is very much appreciated by the devotees. It is the duty of the spiritual master to teach how to decorate the deity in the temple, how to cleanse the temple, and how to worship the deity. There are different procedures and rules and regulations which are followed in temples of Vishnu. And devotees go there and see the deity, the Vigraha, and spiritually enjoy the form, because all the deities are benevolent. Listen to this. The benevolence becomes amazing. The devotees express their minds before the deity, and in many instances, the deity gives answers also. But one must be very elevated devotee in order to be able to speak with the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the Lord informs the devotees through dreams. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and the devotee are not understandable by the atheist, but actually the devotee enjoys them. Kapila Muni is explaining how the devotees see the decorated body and face of the deity and how they speak with him in devotional service. Do you speak with the deity in devotional service? Does he speak back? Does he speak back sometimes?
Maybe you should ask the swimming back.
I'm afraid to ask for it. It's a relationship. And Krishna consciousness is all about relationships. And ultimately, it's relationship with Krishna. And there's relationships with the devotees of Krishna. And that the relationships with the persons who are innocent and inquisitive about the process of devotional service to Krishna. But all of that is suspended on this one relationship with Krishna. And so Kapila Dev is explaining the process of devotional service that flows from the association of sadhus. Because the sadhus are engaged in bhajana kriya. So those who associate with the sadhus engage in bhajana kriya. Their activities, their limbs, or their divisions of devotional service, including seeing the smiling face, the eyes like the rising morning sun, various transcendental forms of deities are worshipped, he discusses, in various forms. Sitaram, Krishna and Radha, Lakshmi and Narayan, Lakshmi and Nrisimhadev, and so forth. Forms of the Lord, Gaudatai, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, different forms of the Lord. And the devotees like serving them, they like seeing them, they like singing their names and chanting their glories and decorating them. And so many, the result of that is that one's consciousness becomes absorbed in Krishna. And that's in the next verse, very nicely connected. Text 36, upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. So there are many things embedded here. A phrase that Prabhupada presents twice in the purport is simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. One is imperceptibly liberated. It says it again, but I'll read it again later. I just want to share something with you. Just today, I received a letter from a devotee in China. And as you know, in China, there are no temples. There's no temples because the government doesn't recognize Hinduism. They don't recognize Islam, Hare Krishna movement. That the message is not only there in China, anybody that comes out of China representing the government, it's a slogan, or it's a refrain. In China, there are five recognized religions. Buddhism, Confucianism, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And I've been told, your religion is not recognized in China. And China is a government of law. Meaning, you're against the law. And meaning, which jail cell would you like? Now, if I don't grab you and put you in handcuffs and take you away and put you in jail, I'm just being merciful. So it's like the cat with the mouse just batting the mouse around, waiting to, you know, pounce on the mouse and eat the mouse. So our devotees in China are aware of that. What they're doing is not within the law. I don't want to speak too much about this because this is being recorded. Okay. So today I received a letter from a devotee who, not having a place of worship, not having what you have here in Seattle, they have just some informal association in, you know, house to house. They can't have more than some number of people assembling in a house, or it's also against the law. And from time to time that it happens, somebody calls the police and the police come and take everybody's ID and get everybody terrified because, you know, who knows what's going to happen next. You've got an X mark against your name with the government. So, they have, because they're in this world, they have a problem with their something, and if there's something, there's something. If they're just being in the material world without the detail, something. And for some period of time since I've known this devotee, struggling. Very service minded. They love to prepare prasadam, distribute prasadam. Whenever there's a function, they're serving the prasadam, serving the devotees. They learned about book distribution. Somebody gave them some Bhagavad Gita, so they're out trying to distribute books, realizing, well, it's not easy to distribute books. And finally, what they decided was they made a change in their home, the largest room in their home, they put their deities. And so they made a nice altar for the deities, they started making outfits for the deities, they started meditating on how to make nice ornaments for the deities, because they've never been to India to just, you know, make ornaments for the deities. And then this person's a yoga teacher, so some of their students come, and right in the main room of the house is deities in a country where it's not a recognized religion. And explaining what the deities are, and hearing the recorded kirtan, and, you know, because they're a yoga teacher, there's already teacher-student relationship, so they inquire and start reading Bhagavad Gita, start chanting, and then their family members start chanting, and the whole atmosphere is becoming surcharged. And this devotee was writing, just exactly as Prabhupada is saying, imperceptibly, it was translated by a translator, but imperceptibly, my life has become changed. And if the translator was writing to me and say, this devotee has become changed. They're radiant, they're we knew that they were struggling with things, but now those things that they were struggling with, it's not occupying their mind, or I was occupying their mind is serving their deity and giving people Bhagavad Gita and introducing them to chanting, and they're so happy, and because they're so happy, it's attracting other people to become happy, chanting Hare Krishna with them. It's amazing. It's contagious. It's transforming many people. And that individual is saying, it's been imperceptible just by making Krishna at the center. Literally, the largest room in their house, they have a rather large place, especially for China, because everything is very expensive. And their deity is in the main place. It's that they face Krishna at the center, not off in a corner somewhere. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service as prescribed in the scriptures, one becomes equal to Brahman. What's that? Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. What's that verse? Mam Chayo Yavicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sabhanan Samati Taitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. By engaging in undivided devotional service, one rises above the modes of nature and becomes situated equal to Brahman. The devotee becomes equal to Brahman, and that way Brahman realized, but not just the Ahambra Masmi, that kind of Brahman realizing Para Brahman through the medium of devotional service. This means that the living entity in his original state is Brahman because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servitor of the Lord, he's overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya. Otherwise, he is eternally Brahman, covered and uncovered. And the means of becoming uncovered, the means is devotional service. And again, from our Thanksgiving theme, devotional service awakens, it commences or is restored through Sadhu Sangha, Bhajan Kriya, Anantana Vritti, etc. Two other things that Prabhupada expresses, along with the seeing of the form of the deity, one should hear about Krishna. This is all of you are doing. And say this as our center is ISKCON temples all over. There's darshan of the deity, but there's also discussion on the topics of Krishna. And there's prasada. In one lecture, Prabhupada was explaining, he was in Los Angeles and they had recently purchased what previously had been a church, and Prabhupada was making the point the church had become empty because people had become too much interested in material life, and now this is a Hare Krishna temple and the place is full. So why is it full? Whereas before it was empty. And his point was, he answered his own question. He said, because there's life. And life attracts life. And what is that life? The life is the activities of devotional service. The kirtan, lively kirtan, and discussion of topics of Krishna, and the distribution of prasadam and loving exchanges with the devotees. So there's life, and life attracts life. And so he made the point, in all of our temples there should be these activities regularly, otherwise they will also become empty. And those devotees who are committed to the practice of sadhana bhakti take those activities and perform them together, sankirtan, in the temple. That's our life. Vidyavadu jivanam, the life of transcendental knowledge. Another time, I think Hari Sori described this. Prabhupada was with, he was riding in an airplane, and there was a minister also riding, a Christian minister riding in the airplane from Boston. The man was from Boston. And he said to Prabhupada, all these members of your organization, I see them all over the city, and these are our boys. They're, but they weren't interested in coming to the church. But now they're mad after Krishna, who they never heard of before. What's your secret? And then Prabhupada said, try one of these. He gave him some prasadam. The priest accepted and started tasting and said, oh, this is very good. And he said, you should do some of that in your church. You give, for communion, you give some dry wafer. Give something like this and you'll have many people coming to your church. Nice prasadam. That was not a common answer the Prabhupada gave to most priests, but that's what he spoke on that particular occasion. But the attractiveness is not just tasty food, because that can be gotten somewhere, other places besides here. This is Krishna prasadam that we're preparing, offering, and distributing. And those that have a sense of bhakti, even just like coming to the temple, a small little morsel in the palm of your hand, honoring the prasad of the Supreme Lord, it's an item of devotion. It helps awaken the natural state of devotion. So similarly, the hearing of these messages, and hearing them regularly, even the same message may you've heard before. There's a very nice passage in Chaitanya Charitamrita where even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. After rising from Gundicha and taking his bath in the sea, he would go before the sun rose to see Mangalarti in Jagannath temple. And then the pujaris would give him some baskets of prasad. And he took the baskets of prasad to the place where Haridas Thakur, Siddha Bukul, to bring prasad to Haridas, so Haridas would have something to eat, because he wouldn't go to the temple, wouldn't enter the temple. And he spent some time with Haridas, and then he would go see Gadadhar Pandit at the Totokopina temple. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit and listen. After having darshan of Gopinath, he would sit and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam for hours, recited by his disciple, Gadadhar Pandit. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that he would hear the pastimes again and again. He would hear the pastimes mentioned specifically. of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, very prominent pastimes. And after hearing the entire narration, he would say, "Say it again. Say it again." And 100 times he would hear and say, "Say it again. Say it again." Now, like, I heard that before. Can you tell me another one? Rather, he was relishing the nectar and going deeply into the subject matter, relishing the loving exchange between the personality of Godhead and his devotee, or the devotees and Narada and Dhruva, and how Narada uplifted Dhruva from Satkam Bhakti to Nishkam Bhakti, and how that took place, appreciating very deeply the mercy of the personality of Godhead. And after hearing it, "Say it again, say it again, 100 times, say it again." These are stimulations for ecstatic love. That's the message. So he was relishing ecstatic love by hearing not something new, but hearing the topics of the personality of Godhead. How many times might one see the deity form of the Lord and say, "Oh, I want to see another deity. I've seen this one. Where's another one?" Now, it's a relationship where seeing the deity and becoming attracted results in, "I want to serve the deity, and the deity has a very nice dress. Let me consider how a very nice dress might be designed for the deity." I was in New York for Gaur Purnima, and this year is the 40th anniversary of Radha Govinda's installation in Jaipur. Personally, Srila Prabhupada was there and saw to the installation of Radha Govinda, and then after that week-long Pandal program in front of the Queen of Jaipur, in that inner area where Radha Govinda Govindaji is today, that's where the Pandal was. Anyway, so Ramabhadra, the temple president and a long-time pujari, is completely absorbed. I really appreciate his devotion for Radha Govinda. He's completely absorbed. I'll say it again. Completely absorbed in honoring Radha Govinda on their 40th anniversary. For Gaur Purnima, I think there were 6 outfits over 4 days. One of them is a flower outfit, which of course they don't wear again. But the other outfits, he would go on for 10 minutes describing how the cloth was selected, how the, at least he told me in sitting in my room, I just was captivated by, you know, he was practically elevated, levitated by just describing the meditation of getting the cloth and getting it to the deity, the dressmaker, and the dressmaker said, "You know, this cloth is so thick and so rich, it will last 100 years, because some cloth is very thin and fragile. So you take good care of this cloth, it will last 100 years. Anyway, imperceptibly, here it is again. One who is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is a servitor of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. However, even the third class devotee, who is not advanced in knowledge of the absolute truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity, becomes imperceptibly liberated. You know, there's this statement it's sometimes puzzling for devotees that the devotee, if offered liberation, will reject liberation. They're not aspiring for liberation, but even if offered liberation, they'll reject it. Because they want only one thing. They want devotional service. But built into it is, devotional service is executed from a liberated platform. So they're automatically liberated. So they can say, no, I don't want. But it's like Prahlad Maharaj, when he was pushed before Lord Nrisimhadeva by Lord Brahma and the demigods to offer prayers, he said to Lord Nrisimhadeva, please don't ask me to take a benediction. And he gives many reasons why. One is, I'll ask for something material. It'll be detrimental to me and to everybody else, so don't ask me to take the benediction. And another was, if that's not the nature of our relationship. The nature of our relationship is, I'm the servant, and you're the served, the master, and there's nothing else. So please don't ask me to take, because it's not an entrepreneurial or a business-like relationship. I do, and you do for me. That's not our relationship. So please don't ask me to take a benediction. But he receives a benediction anyways. So he asked for the liberation of his father, who did so many bad things. Please excuse him for all the reactions of his bad things. Lord Nrisimhadeva said, that's already done. Because he's your father. He's already free from the reactions of all of his sinful activities. So ask for something else, because that's already done. So then he asked for the deliverance of all the foolish people of the world, of creation, that have neglected their relationship with the Personality of Godhead, because they're unnecessarily suffering. Please liberate them. I don't want to go back to Godhead without them also going. How do you, so the verse is saying, the reason for amplifying this is it's right in the verse. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attained liberation. You say, no, no, and he gets liberation anyways. Because Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, devotional service is from that platform. That's the merciful nature of Krishna. That's the merciful nature of Krishna. Even if someone, for example, even if someone doesn't know what chanting of Hare Krishna is, if they chant Hare Krishna, it acts. It's like the example of fire. You touch fire, it burns. Because it's fire, it's quality of fire, it burns. You come in contact with Krishna in the form of His holy name, or Krishna Prasadam, or Krishna's form, deity form, or Bhagavad Gita. When I first read Bhagavad Gita, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was something else. I thought it was a poetry book. Because a person gave me a copy who we would regularly talk about poetry, and I thought it was a poetry book. I didn't know what it was, but it changed my life. It wasn't even initially Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it was another Bhagavad Gita, but that led me to Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. So, even unknowingly, even a, as he's saying here, a third-class personality, if they, that's why we have temples, imperceptibly, one becomes liberated. Like I was sharing with this devotee in China, struggling and struggling. I know the devotee, struggling and struggling. Nice person, but circumstances in their life, we could say their past karmic involvement had brought into their life complications and struggling and struggling. And now it's not there are no complications, but their consciousness is completely transcendental, and that's transforming the situations of people's lives. It's fantastic. That's the process of devotional service. It's why should the Prabhupada create temples? He expresses it explicitly. the nectar of instruction. He created these temples for the purpose of having loving exchanges. Dati pratigranati puyam akyati prichati. That verse he explains. So persons who may not have any education, they may not know sambandha gyan, they may not know the relationship of things from their source of emanation and what the scriptural conclusions are, and so many things they may not know. But if the atmosphere is surcharged with devotional service, sincerely rendered and following proper standards by the practitioners, then it's transforming. And we see it happening, isn't it? Based on, so this is what was being presented in the Bhagavatam, the scriptural basis for what we do. What we do is not just pulled out of the air. Some creative way or clever, innovative way of getting a bunch of people to be nice. Instead of, you know, raucous and something else. It's not like that. This is the scriptural basis. And the attractiveness of becoming attracted to the attractiveness of Krishna is part of that process. When our senses are dulled, we may not be able to recognize the attractiveness of the all-attractive, the message of the personality of God. We may not be like Lord Chaitanya, where we want to hear the same narration again and yet again and yet again. We may not be on that platform. Nonetheless, imperceptibly, the purifying potency is acting on the platform of the soul. It's very wonderful. It's sublime. It's mystical. It's transformational. You can put it right in the palm of your hand. Here it is. It's very convenient. It's easy. Not costly. It's very wonderful. We're recipients of untold volumes of mercy. And we're still a little slow and complacent. And still it's acting. Very powerful. There's two words that just end with this. I was planning to go a little further into the chapter, but I won't. Shraddhayanvita. You know, with Shraddha, with great faith. Shraddhayanvita, with great determination, with great devotion, the devotees offer worshipful respects and paraphernalia to the deity. Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Rama and Sita are very attractive to devotees. So much so that when they see the deity decorated in the temple, they become fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or other methods. He gives the example of Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras. They were liberated. But from that liberated position, they became attracted. Shukadeva, by hearing from his father, four Kumaras, by smelling the fragrance of the sandalwood and the tulsi at the feet of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. They were outside the gates of Vaikuntha, but they just smelled the fragrance of those things. And they became attracted to the personal feature of the Lord. Those who are already liberated, becoming attracted to the personal feature of the Lord means the personal feature of the Lord is transcendental, because they have no material attraction. very famous verse, Atmarama verse of the Bhagavatam, that states that. So, Shraddhayan Vita, just that small item of with faith, Shraddha, faith that beyond this facade of material existence, there's a deeper reality. I may not know what that deeper reality is, but there's something, and I want to touch that something. I want to be in contact with that something. In that way, if devotional service is executed, it carries one into a far greater happiness, a state of joy, an unending crescendo of Krishna conscious happiness that can't be compared to anything in this world. That's the attraction. And then vilas is the last term. Vilas means pastimes. Krishna performs wonderful pastimes for the purpose of attracting the hearts and the minds of us, those living entities that are in this material world, bouncing around, undergoing the cycle of birth and death, and running into obstacles that are interfering with our happiness, and etc., etc., material existence, to attract those in material existence to the spiritual world through this loving pastimes. And he says it one last time in the purport, that third class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation, is accepted in all Vedic literature. So I wanted to go further, but I'm running out of time. And tomorrow morning I have the morning class. I'll bring those nice descriptions of Krishna. We'll read those first. Okay, so any comments or discussion? Yes?
Maharshi, you mentioned about China. Would you like to tell something more about China?
I'm reluctant. I mean, I think I spoke more than I should have.
And Maharashtra, have you been able to visit over there?
Where?
China.
I've been there. It's a regular part of my... Yes. Yeah. The devotees there are... They're very nice. There's not a lot of infrastructure for their support. And so, when someone becomes a devotee, it's from something inside them. They're very genuine in their devotion. And they have very close relationships with one another because they're very few. But they're all over the country. I mean, I've not been all over the country, but wherever I've traveled, there's devotees. And they can go in the public and have kirtan. Anyway, but I don't want to go into too much of how it goes on.
Maharaj, it was wonderful for me to be in Mayapur during this IRS and see at least 50 to 80 Chinese devotees. The Chinatown, when we go there here, you know how they look? Exactly the same there, but with tilak, sari, dhoti, kurta, mala in their hand. And some had little kids, and some had parents with them. Parents were also wearing dhoti. And I mean, seeing early in the morning for Mangala Aarti when I was going, because they don't speak the English or Hindi or anything, they all gather in the front of the building there in a bunch of the temple entrance. And first thing I see them after my businesses, and few of them I still know them by name. You know? I mean, it was just a fantastic experience. In fact, one person is saying if there is any preacher who would like to be in China, they're going to give him a job as a English teacher and pay for the salary for an entire year, and in a side they will do the preaching. If anybody's interested, let me know.
Anything? Yes?
So the high sense of meditation of the Lord for the devotee is the body of the teachers of the Lord.
And that's the one.
The pastimes of the Lord?
Yes, that's another.
Okay, that's
not the question. I mean, I'm not sure what the question is.
The pastimes of the Lord?
All of them. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. Those four are most prominent and sequential. We're recommended by Haridas Thakur to enter into meditation upon the qualities of Krishna or the pastimes of Krishna or the form of Krishna through the meditation upon the name of Krishna. In fact, they unfold. One literally gets an experience of those, starting from the name. And when one is chanting properly, approaching offenseless chanting, without extra endeavor, the form of the Lord appears in one's mind or heart. And then in sequence, the qualities of the Lord appear and stimulate one's heart. Not abstract, it's experiential. And then the pastimes of the Lord are enacted in one's heart. The Goswamis had that practice. It's described in Bhakti Ratnakar. They would chant with absorption, such absorption, the pastimes of Krishna. They were just remembering something that they read about the pastimes of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna were being enacted in their heart. Yeah, guna qualities. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Okay.